One, two, three, four.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm a professional writer and your resident lyricist.
I'm a professional musician and your resident composer.
And together, we toss up a new song each week.
Using a random music genre.
And a random topic.
That's right. Using our proprietary, patented, pastrami, industrial strength salad spinner, we randomize over 500 music genres.
And hit the random article button on Wikipedia to get our topic.
Yep. Tell our listeners what we did last week, Shannon.
Last week, we wrote a doo-wop song about Gollum.
Gollum-a-doo.
Which got stuck in my head for a very long time.
It's catchy.
It is catchy.
Those songs are nothing if not catchy.
Be true. Hopefully it has now reached the ears of Peter Jackson.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah, and they're considering releasing it on like the next special edition in Lord of the Rings. You know.
Can you imagine like we, in however many years, we get a new version of Lord of the Rings and we sit down to watch it with our children like, oh, you have to watch this classic film. And the moment the character Gollum appears on screen, you just hear Gollum-a-doo in the background.
Precious is precious. It
really sets up his character nicely.
I think it does too.
Well, let's see what's in store for us this week as we fire up the salad spinner to generate our genre and topic.
Go, go, go.
This week, we're writing a... Old school hip hop song
about
162173 Ryugu.
162173 Ryugu.
Okay.
Okay.
Old school hip hop song about 162173 Ryugu.
Naturally,
there probably is one already.
Yeah, I mean it's such an obvious topic.
Charted territory.
Okay, well, before we get to what in the world or out of this world,
hint hint,
numbers Ryugu is, because I don't remember and I can't
see
your screen.
That's what his friends call him.
Numbers. Let's talk about old school hip hop. So what do you know about it before we do research?
So I know that it emerged in the like early 80s and came out of the disco era.
Right.
And it was started in the Bronx and emerged from these like basement dance parties where people were like playing disco records, but then like scratching the records on the turntable and stuff. And then people started rapping over it. And like that was the beginning of hip hop.
Yeah, I associate it with like people making their own cassette tapes.
Okay.
And then like playing them on the street in like a boombox. For their friends.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very like democratic music genre.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it was like, it reminds me a little bit of, we talked about, and I can't remember what it was, deep funk, I think was the genre.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like the records that were being made at the time were like super rare and collectible because they were like one off things that you would like try to get or hear at a specific club. And old school hip hop, early rap stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just talking out my ass usually, but reminds me of the similar thing where it was like there would be like a couple versions of these songs recorded on a physical thing that you'd have to go find if you didn't like see the hip hop artist in person.
Right. There was no, I don't think there was any master distribution of this music until it got more attention later in the 80s. So this old school hip hop is like seen as the, you know, the birth of hip hop.
Cool.
So we'll do more specific research, but that's what I know.
Yeah, same.
What about 162173 Ryugu?
Okay, so here's what we can see from the article.
From the, just from glancing,
like, glancing at the article. Because there's a picture. It's an asteroid.
It's an asteroid.
But I had never heard of this asteroid. Had you?
Me either.
Okay.
No. I can't say I've heard of any specific asteroids.
yeah, me either. That's right.
Well, research time?
Research time.
Let's go old school.
Oh, yeah.
We are geographically ready for this.
I mean, truly, we are perfectly poised.
We are. Old school hip hop, sometimes spelled old S-K-O-O-L.
That's how you know it's the cool way.
That's the cool way. Remember when it was always cool to misspell things, like in advertising and products? And like, it was, there was that 90s thing of like, everything has to be spelled wrong if teens are going to buy it.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
There's anyway. Also, I mean, that's how we got, you know, that's how we got okay. The word okay?
No.
Oh, would you guys like a little history lesson right
Look
now?
Look at this tangent before we even start talking.
I'm
Let's
very
do it.
Sorry. You can cut this for time if you need to. But it used to also be very trendy, like way, way back in the day, to uh-huh. misspell common phrases for like comedic effect or just to like recognize that this was like a tropey phrase that you were saying.
Sure.
So okay became the abbreviation from the phrase all correct, spelled O-L-L-K-O-R-E, like correct okay. spelled. Yeah. So if you were saying something was all correct, you were saying it was okay. And that's how we get okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Humans are weird.
I know. It was in like old newspapers. Let me find the exact date for you, but that's okay. the story behind okay.
All right. Well, I'll start talking about O-S-H-H in the meantime. Old school hip hop. This is the earliest commercially recorded hip hop music. It is the origin of hip hop and rap, like we were saying. And it actually started around 1979. So the very tail end of the 70s. And it is said that the, you know, age of old school hip hop ended around 1984 due to changes in the technique of rapping and the type of music and rhythms that would accompany these hip hop songs. And also, I would say it probably refers to the subject matter also changing in these rap songs. These early hip hop songs, which were created by artists like Grandmaster Flash, Afrika Bambaataa, DJ Kool Herc, the Sugar Hill Gang, Kool Moe Dee. There's the list goes on and on, but those are probably the most well-known early artists. Dougie Fresh too. It focused initially on simple rapping techniques and on party-related subject matter, mostly because, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, the initial use of these songs were for like basement dance parties or block parties in the Bronx and in Harlem. And DJs would spin disco records and sort of loop the instrumental sections as the beat. So you'd have this like kind of funk groove and funky bass lines, which MCs would then rap over and, you know, hype the party.
About okay. And then yes. I will. So we're going to do a little topic whiplash, but it was. In the 1840s, it was the misspelling of all correct, but then it was repopularized or like brought into the mainstream because Martin Van Buren's nickname was Old Kinderhook, and it became conflated like okay, like Old Kinderhook is okay.
Gotcha.
And so like that's how it really started. So 1840s, guys, with okay.
Crazy. Earlier than hip hop.
Indeed. Anyway, fast forward.
Yes.
So this party aesthetic and the topic of like partying and having a good time and braggadocio, there is an interesting quote from a rapper called Immortal Technique, and he wrote a book called How to Rap, which is pretty amazing.
Yep.
and he explains why party content plays such a big part in hip hop, saying, hip hop was born in an era of social turmoil in the same way that slaves used to sing songs on a plantation. That's the party songs that we used to have.
Makes sense.
So it was a form of escapism.
Right. And there's a song called The Breaks from 1980. That was one of the first like crossover rap singles. And it actually has like noise of a party in the background. Mm. So that was common in some early hip hop songs. There was also the element of freestyle rap and battle rap that added to this kind of like live MC-based party aesthetic. So these MCs would sometimes just like pick a topic and go quote unquote like off the dome or off the top of the head and rap about a subject over one of these grooves. And then MCs would challenge each other and do these battle raps at these parties too.
And one such battle rap in particular is kind of credited with turning the tide of popular opinion about these battles. Mm-hmm. And that was in
December
1981.
Cool the Mo month D. really matters.
Yeah, it does. Cool Mo D, also spelled with a K, by the way, challenged Busy Bee Starsky. And Busy Bee Starsky lost to Cool Mo D's way more complex raps. And the quote here is, "No longer was an MC just a crowd-pleasing comedian with a slick tongue. He was a commentator and a storyteller." And that's from the documentary called Beef.
Nice. Good documentary title.
Yes.
I talked about how the change in subject matter probably ended the delineation of the era of old school hip hop. There's a song called The Message, which was by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, which was one of the first hip hop songs to actually talk about something other than partying. It was more about like the black experience in New York and about the struggles and hardships of living in the Bronx and in Harlem at that time. So I think like this socially conscious rap music kind of replaced the party music after, well, it didn't replace, but, you know, added to the genre in the later part of the 80s, mid to late 80s.
So let's talk about Afrofuturism.
Yes. How do we get there?
We got there because there was this undercurrent of sci-fi and Afrofuturism running through this early hip hop music.
Mm-hmm.
And what Afrofuturism refers to, in case you don't know, is an artistic aesthetic or philosophy about the intersection between the African diaspora culture and technology and science.
Cool.
So that sounds very broad. And it was coined in the 90s, that term Afrofuturism, but scholars agree that if you look back all the way to like the 50s or so, there are artistic and creative works that could be called Afrofuturistic.
Cool.
So we're talking about, I guess the best way to explain it is just to read this. So Afrofuturism addresses themes and concerns of the African diaspora through technoculture and science fiction, encompassing a range of media and artists with a shared interest in envisioning black futures that stem from Afro-diasporic experiences.
Got it.
So like, honestly, I think a really great modern example of this is Black Panther. If you saw the recent Black Panther movie,
right,
and you look at Wakanda, which is this incredibly technologically advanced society kind of hidden away in Africa, and the results of the Wakandan nation kind of spreading all over the world, this is like a perfect example of Afrofuturism.
Cool. Good example.
Yeah. You might also be familiar with Octavia Butler, who was a novelist, and Jean-Michel Basquiat, who was a really famous painter.
Yeah. And then also, I think we did mention Afrofuturism when we talked more in depth about the band Parliament Funkadelic in one of our like either progressive rock episodes or soul, or maybe it was even when we did our sample of like the Bow Wow Wow Yippee-O Yippee-Yay thing. I can't remember. Anyway, that's a great band example of Afrofuturism in music and in funk in particular. So there is an early hip hop song that it fits into this sci-fi Afrofuturism umbrella, and it's called Light Years Away by Warp 9. And let's actually play a little bit of it now, and you can hear that it has this kind of spacey electro hip hop sound to it. So here's Light Years Away. Do you see where we're going with this?
I mean, Yeah.
Our topic's an asteroid.
Yes.
So there's that. Let's play a couple more examples too.
Well, I also want to mention about Warp 9. While the lead singers were African American, the two like producers and writers, mm-hmm. specifically on Light Years Away, which we'll hear, were white people. So there was Lottie Golden and Richard Scherr.
Yes.
And they were both like well-known music producers and writers.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'd also like to play Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang. We live close to Sugar Hill.
Extremely close. Spitting distance.
Yes. So Rapper's Delight is definitely considered one of the most classic old school hip hop songs. It sampled a bass line from the song Good Times by Chic, a band that we've recently talked about because of our new disco episode.
La Freak.
Yes.
Say she.
Exactly. So here's a little bit of Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang. I said a hip hop, the hip to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop the rocket to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the bang, bang, boogie, let's rock.
Iconic.
Iconic. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about and play was turntablism.
Oh, yes.
So turntables, very, very important part of the development of hip hop because these DJs were literally spinning records and figuring out techniques to sample certain parts of certain existing songs, add percussive elements with scratching, and switch back and forth between all of these different records to create these, like, you know, new hip hop pieces. So one of the most famous turntable songs is called Adventures on the Wheels of Steel, composed entirely on turntables by Grandmaster Flash. And as you're listening to it, just imagine that he had to like flip between all of these records on different record players initially to create this and make sure all the tempos lined up, make sure he was playing the right thing at the right time, which is really impressive. So here's Adventures on the Wheels of Steel.
You say, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Fat Five Freddy's on the everybody slide. DJ is spinning, I said, my. Flash is fast. Flash is cool, Francois, Safar, Flash ain't no two.
You say, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Choreography, really.
Yeah. Really amazing. So that's kind of the, you know, Reader's Digest version of old school hip hop history.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much more. Like, yeah. this is whole documentaries. This is whole, like, entire fields of scholarly study,
right,
is dedicated to, like, this period of cultural moment. Yeah.
There was a good show on HBO called Vinyl that only lasted one season, unfortunately, but it explored the end of disco and the beginnings of both punk and hip hop, like from the view of a record producer. And it was really fascinating, but it didn't take off. So they like didn't quite get into the subjects the way you wanted to. But if you're interested in learning more about it, that's a good show to watch.
Cool.
All right, to space?
To space.
Onward.
To infinity and beyond.
This is probably the coolest asteroid.
This is the coolest topic that we've ever gotten. Like, this is so much cooler than its numbers belie. Let me just say right. That.
So, yes, this is an asteroid.
Yes.
It is specifically a near-Earth object and a potentially hazardous asteroid of the Apollo group.
It's too cool to be dangerous. I'm just saying.
So, a potentially hazardous object, a PHO, which is also a delicious soup, is an asteroid or a comet with an orbit that can make exceptionally close approaches to the Earth and large enough to cause significant regional damage in the event of impact. So watch out for 162173 Ryugu, folks.
Yeah. So the cool thing about Ryugu, so if you're imagining its orbit, it passes in between the Earth and Mars.
Yeah.
And it does orbit. And it is, it's pretty big.
It's a kilometer in diameter.
Yeah. Almost a kilometer, right?
Almost. And it weighs almost 450 million tons, they estimate.
How crazy is that?
It's like a big rubble pile, apparently.
Yeah. So it's not actually one solid lump. About 50% of it is empty space. Like its volume is empty space.
Right.
And it's just all kind of stuck together. And the reason that we know this is maybe even cooler than the asteroid.
We've been to it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, not we, but Japan.
We as humanity have been to it.
Japanese listeners, this is really cool.
Well, I mean, everyone.
Well, yes. Really cool. But like, if you're a Japanese listener, like, be good proud. On you. Be yes. proud. This is really cool. So this was the first, we sent a little dude. We sent a little machine.
Yeah, a little robot.
Yeah, to the asteroid, and it landed on it.
Yeah.
It was the first time that a man-made spacecraft had ever landed on a fast-moving body.
It's pretty cool. This was in 2014.
It took off in 2014.
The Hayabusa 2 spacecraft launched. Then it landed on the asteroid on June 27th of 2018, and it deployed 4 rovers with various scientific instruments.
Let me tell you a thing that this robot did.
Yes.
It touched down briefly, just like 2 months ago, on February 22nd, 2019, and it fired a bullet into the surface of the asteroid to puff up dust for collection, and then it blasted back to its holding pattern around the asteroid.
We sent a robo-gun to an asteroid.
Like, what?
So these rovers like collected stuff from this asteroid, and they're due back in like 2020 to give us this asteroid dust so we can study it.
How?
It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Now, because of that, it got its name, Ryugu, which means Dragon Palace, which means Dragon Palace, which was a magical underwater palace in Japanese folktale. In the story, the fisherman Urashima Taro travels to the palace on the back of a turtle, and when he returns, he carries with him a mysterious box, much like the Hayabusa 2 spacecraft returning with samples.
It's so fucking cute. I like can't stand how like perfectly beautiful, wrapped up in a bow, the JAXA has like made this whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
Unreal.
I love it.
Hayabusa means peregrine falcon in Japanese. Oh,
of course
it
does, because that's so cool.
Like, just so cool.
Now, there's one other really cool thing about this asteroid, as if there could be more.
Yeah.
So, the Hayabusa 2 spacecraft also took close photographs of the asteroid as it was approaching it. These stereoscopic images were created by astronomer Brian May. Now, if the name Brian May sounds familiar to you, it's because he's the guitarist from the band Queen, who also just happens to be a PhD astrophysicist.
What in the world? What is happening right now?
So he was the one that like put together these images of this specific asteroid. Now, Brian May also himself has an asteroid named after him, 52665 Brian May.
Like, the world is truly weirder than you can ever imagine.
I absolutely love it.
Amazing.
And it gives me an idea.
Ooh.
We could sample a bass line from a Queen song from the late 70s, early 80s.
That sounds incredible.
That's the idea.
That's a very good idea. I like your idea.
And make the song kind of like electro, hip hop, Afrofuturist sounding.
I think it should sound most like the Warp 9.
Yeah.
Record, which is less what you would think of traditionally as like rapping, though it is like rapped over some kind of like funky beats.
It's it's more funk disco with rap over it, which a lot of early hip hop was. That was how it originated. So I said that word weird.
Originated. Yeah, you know.
So cool.
We aren't worthy of this genre and topic, like on so many levels.
Yeah, we're gonna fuck it up.
On like credibility levels, on like intellectual levels, just cool factor. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, well, are you gonna write like a party song about it, or are you gonna keep it all like futuristic?
I don't know.
Or both.
What if it's all the little Hayabusa robots having a party with the asteroid?
A literal party with robots on the asteroid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Robot part asteroid robot party. Oh my god.
ARP.
I hope that my lyrics are worthy of this incredible topic.
Probs not. Neither is my music.
Yeah, well, that's how it
usually
goes. Which
is why I'm stealing it from Queen.
Yeah. I mean, this is a genre of sampling.
True.
So you are not far off base there.
Do you want me to explain that and then you do your lyrics?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. So in honor of Brian May, the astrophysicist, and to go along with the tradition of DJs sampling bass lines and grooves from other songs, I am using the bass line from Queen's Another One Bites the Dust. Now, you may have heard earlier in our examples that Another One Bites the Dust was also featured in Grandmaster Flash's Adventures on the Wheels of Steel. He plays the chic Good Times bass line, which also starts bump, 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 but then goes into a different groove. And then he samples in Another One Bites the Dust because they're similar. So I'm just going to go with that as the bass groove for the whole song. And here's what that sample sounds like on its own.
Groovy,
and then extra groovy with a funkier drum pattern layered over top of it. So here's that funkier drum pattern.
Super funky.
Soup's funky. And then I made it sound futuristic and spacey with synthesizers. So a lot of these synths probably wouldn't have been around in the 80s, but, you know, we work with what we got. So
it's not just a Roland TR-808 or anything?
No.
Yeah.
No, they're all much more complicated than that.
You can't keep Scott away from his bleeps and bloops for too long.
You can't. I gravitate towards them.
No.
So here's some random synthy futuristic stuff that I found in no particular order.
Great.
And then lastly, I'm using some vinyl record scratch sounds too to make it sound like there's a DJ actually scratching along with this stuff. Here's some scratches.
Fake.
And then vocal style, I'm going to do that kind of like really high energy, forward, present kind of rap style that's not particularly intricate in its like rhythmic complexity and more is just about like grooving along with the beat and going with that party kind of rhythm, you know? So whatever your lyrics are, hopefully they fit that.
They do. They certainly great. Do. So I've written a very straightforward, like not a lot of like tricky fitting the syllables to different, right. Like it's all very like up and down, you know? and a lot of like short words and like mm-hmm. not any, I think there's maybe one slant rhyme in the whole thing. Like okay. it's very straightforward, but that's fine. That's like how it was. And it's not written to be rapped particularly quickly either. Sure. So it's just kind of like you said, groove along with the rhythm.
Cool.
So I took the idea of a robot party on the asteroid.
Yes.
And I wanted there to be a little bit of variation in the song. So there is like a rapped verse. Mm-hmm. And then all of the rapped verses are split up by like a little chorus that can be like a combo of like rapped and sung,
cool,
or like a call and response element, or just something with like okay. a little bit more dynamic interest.
I kind of like the idea of a call and response with like a really emotive MC and then robots.
Yeah.
So it's like all the robots in the house say party over here. Party over here.
Yeah. Well, there is definitely a space for that here.
Let's do it.
So you will see
space for
like
it.
Quite literally space for it. And I wanted to like tell the story. So it is about a party on the asteroid, but I mm-hmm. want to tell a story of like the origin story of how they gotcha. Got there.
Cool.
So like I said, you'll pick up on what is a verse and what is a chorus pretty quickly. Here we go.
Go for it.
A pile of rubble, likely to start some trouble, is zipping round in orbit above. Japan took note and sent a space boat to check it out and bring back some love.
This sort of feels like the Fresh Prince intro.
In West Philadelphia,
flying to space.
Yeah. maybe. What if every rap I wrote was just
that
same
exact
rhythm?
Scansion?
Yeah, exactly. So then I thought the chorus or like hook could be something like, it's a robot boogie at the Dragon Palace in space. Hayabusa 2 knows just what to do in space.
Nice.
Second verse. Might have took 4 years, but we conquered our fears and made it to that Nasteroid.
Nasteroid. Oh, title.
Ryugu flew, caught by Hayabusa 2, and with a blast, all the rovers deployed. Nice. Robot boogie, Dragon Palace, space. You get the idea. Then the final verse is, in December next winter, they'll come back as winners and show us it was worth the pain. Because now we know if in space we must go, bots can shoot bullets into asteroids' brains.
Oh, God. Got a little violent at the end.
Whatever. And then we can, and then I thought we could yell dust or have something like,
dust.
Yeah.
All right.
As an homage to Another One Bites the Dust, and also the bullet sending up a puff of dust that they could collect. And then we can repeat and fade the robot boogie Dragon Palace in space thing cool. until we get tired of it.
Nice. Yes, I forgot to mention another reason behind Another One Bites the Dust is that it's about dust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nasteroid, I yelled title after you said it.
You did.
But maybe that's not the best title.
I think Robot Boogie in Space is
Robot Boogie in Space. Yeah. That's better.
There is definitely, definitely a difference in our download numbers with titles that are like lots of nouns.
Okay.
And titles that are like more esoteric, I suppose.
Which is better for us?
Definitely nouns.
Okay.
Like cows go fast, or like inner meat. People mm-hmm. love it. It's like nouns.
People love
that they
clicking
can parse.
On it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Robot Boogie in Space is going to be
yeah,
like,
that's going to be good.
Brilliant. Yep. Yes.
Okay. Great.
I think we're ready. Yeah.
We're definitely ready.
Okay.
Here is Robot Boogie in Space.
An old school with a K hip hop song
about 162173 Ryugu, the asteroid,
by Shannon and Scott.
Pile of rubble, likely to start some trouble, is zipping round in orbit above. Japan took note and sent a space boat to check it out and bring back some love.
It's a robot boogie at the Dragon Palace. In space.
In space.
Hayabusa 2 knows just what to do. In space.
In space.
Might have took 4 years, but we conquered our fears and made it to that asteroid.
Nasty.
Mayugu flew, caught by Hayabusa 2, and with the blast the rover's deployed. It's a robot boogie at the Dragon Palace. In space.
In space.
Hayabusa 2 knows just what to do. In space. In December next winter, they'll come back as winners and show us it was worth the pain. Cause now we know, if in space we must go, bots can shoot bullets
into asteroid brains.
Dust. It's a robot boogie at the Dragon Palace. In space.
In space.
Hayabusa 2 knows just what to do. In space.
In space.
It's a robot boogie at the Dragon Palace. In space.
In space.
Hayabusa 2 knows just what to do.
I love this song.
It's really fun.
It's extremely fun.
It works well.
I think so.
Even though I went a little bit B-52s on it.
Yeah. I mean, you get a little Rock Lobster, like, whenever you have to speak sing. It's just a particular personality quirk of yours, and I appreciate it about you at this point.
Or is it a deficiency?
Let's go with quirk.
Let's go with quirk.
It sounds nicer. But really, I think we dude it.
I think we dude it.
Yeah.
That's the mark. And we hit the mark.
Yeah, I wonder.
We blasted a bullet into this song's brain.
And we collected its dust. We
collected its dust.
And we're bringing it back to our human masters.
On the back of our turtle in a mysterious box.
Oh, there's so many layers to this story.
And to the asteroid.
I know. Oh, goodness. I wonder if we can. So we often say we dude it at the end of a Songs Out
True.
Episode. And for people who don't know the origin of dude it,
oh, yeah.
We should maybe explain that every 100 episodes or so, maybe.
Sure. Episode 156 feels like a good time to say it.
Yeah.
So there was a piece of sheet music that I inherited from my grandmother, and the title of the song was We Dude It. That's it.
That's it. And we just thought it was funny if the past tense of do was dude instead of did.
Spelled D-O-O-D.
Yeah. But I also wonder, I do wonder, if maybe we have created a secondary meaning of dude, which is like separate from did, which is just, you know, a simple past tense of something that was done. But like maybe dude is like trying a thing and maybe not fully succeeding, but giving yourself credit anyway.
I like that.
You know what
I mean?
That's
a good definition.
Like if you, like, you know, you go and you audition for something, but you didn't make it, but you're like, I dude it. You know?
You put in the effort.
Yeah, you put in the effort.
It's A for effort.
It's an earnest attempt.
I like that. That's funny.
So maybe that's our next shirt. We've got, okay, next shirt's Podcast or My Religion.
Yes.
We heard from you. You want it. We'll try to make
it happen.
And then
We dude it
shirt.
Should it be we dude it with a question mark on the front and we dude it with a period on the back?
Yes.
Great.
Decided.
I would buy that.
Front and back's printed t-shirts may be beyond our reach at TeePublic, but we'll see.
Never
mind. We'll see. I'll try to make it happen, guys.
Or maybe like check boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we dude it? Question mark. Dude it with like an empty box next to it. Didn't dude it or something with another empty box.
This is getting very complicated.
It's fine.
We'll figure it out.
Well, if you like that song, there's more where that came from on 155 other episodes, which are available if you go to songsaladpodcast.com or find us on social media, Song Salad Cast on Twitter, or our Facebook group, the Song Salad Podcast Produce Section.
It's great in there, guys. Just come over and feel all warm and fuzzy with us in there.
Yeah. You can also buy that merch we were just talking about either at our website or directly from TeePublic by searching Song Salad.
Well, not that merch specifically, but merch.
Other merch.
In general.
Maybe that merch by the time you're listening to this.
Yes, with the beautiful logo and album designs by Kayla M. Wassel on Twitter.
Yes, thank you, Kayla.
Thank you.
You can also support our show on Patreon, patreon.com/songsalad, and at $5 a month, you get access to our bonus content. At $10 a month, you get to submit genre and topic suggestions to our salad bowl.
Just like Nubia and Biddy this past month.
Yeah. And you, when you join Patreon, you automatically get a sticker sent to you.
Eventually. And you get the bonus content eventually. But you'll get a whole bunch of it at once.
Yeah,
it's like
great.
It's like the Netflix model. Like they release the whole season at the same time,
right,
you know?
Right.
So you can binge it. It's purposeful is what I'm saying.
If you're unhappy with that, leave us a review, but make it positive anyway.
Give us 5 stars, but complain about us.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, honestly.
That's great. Do that.
Say all you want, but just give us 5 stars.
Just complain about whatever in your review. Give us a 5-star review where you're like, McDonald's sucks.
Yeah, sure. We'll take it. Let us be your shoulder to lean on.
Yeah.
You know, just give us 5 stars. It's fine. Scott and I will be a little bit more out of pocket this week coming up. We will be on vacation.
Yes.
Vacation. All I ever wanted. Vacation.
Ready to get away.
Yeah, sure. I didn't know the rest of the lyrics. Thank you. So if we are not as responsive as usual on Twitter or in the produce section, we are just out of town and possibly with limited access to internet. But we will be back with no interruption to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Yes. So until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And this has been Song Salad.
Eat your space veggies.
Eat your veggies.
Eat your veggies.
1, 2, 3, 4.